Marty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Ready to go. It's Wednesday morning.
It is Wednesday morning, and the dome right now is keeping the rain off Bloomington to a degree, but rain makes nice flowers, makes grass green, so we've got to deal with that. And right. One thing you've got to deal with is you had a meeting last night, but I had no clue. I forgot you did. The good news is you join us every Wednesday morning to give us an update on what we might have missed or what might not have been covered.
Well, certainly, I'm happy to talk with you because I feel like a lot was covered last evening, some of which was not as pleasant as others, but, you know, that's kind of the way county government goes. But one of the things that we're seeing is that now that the annexation didn't take place, then people were able to start moving forward with what had been sort of placed on hold. Waiting to see what was going to happen. And one of those things was the money for the library, that $930,000, which was approved last night. Now, remember, this, even though it says it's an additional appropriation, what it actually was is money that they already have, that they have been saving back in their operational funds, and they're wanting to move it over into another fund where they can use it for capital projects. And so in moving it over, they can move forward with the repairs and what they're going to be doing at the Alpha public library there. But in addition to which, they could move forward with looking for ground and so forth and what their plans are for the new branch. Now, I made it clear with my vote that, you know, I certainly want them to maintain the two libraries that we presently have, but I hope that they do not move forward with the branch library unless they can be very clear to the public and the public can make it clear to them if they feel there's, number one, a need, and number two, a way to pay for it that is not going to be a large burden to the taxpayer. So
where are they talking about doing a third branch, Marty?
Well, that I asked that question again, if they made a decision on which area. I continue to hear that it will be southwest of town because that's where they expect so much growth to happen. But I have not heard that from the library officials. So I think they're still looking, or perhaps they don't want to say because they're in the process of some kind of quiet negotiations. I don't know the answer to that. But that would be a question for the library board. That I do know that they have said that before they can move forward with building a new branch, they would have to come back to the county council to discuss a bond, so they would be borrowing the money to build the library.
Marty,
so there'll be another opportunity to discuss it.
Well, I mean, why do we have to build something with all the commercial buildings that are sitting empty in this town?
Well, one would certainly hope they would take a look at that to see if there's something that would work for them that's in the area that they're discussing. But that's not really something that we'll be able to
control.
It will be up to the community to let the library know just exactly which direction they would like to go.
There's two things here. There's building a building, and then there's also staffing.
Well, that was another thing I was going to go after is that, you know, number one, do they have the money to maintain another branch? And two, why wouldn't we go at this in a little bit less of a, let's say, grandiose manner, and instead maybe, you know, rent something in the area and see how that goes before we go off and do the Taj Mahal.
Well, and I have no idea what size branch that they would wish to have, or even if they would proceed with building one. They might be looking at an existing building. I think the public will really have a big influence on what they do, but until they let us know what their plan is, the county council really All we do is, as long as they keep their budget within the growth factor, not their levy, their budget within the growth factor, then they can move forward. They can review it, but we don't have to vote on it up or down. It's a even though it's a non-elected board, that's the way it works with libraries. But if they would ever decide to increase their budget beyond that growth factor, then they have to come back to the county council. And that's where our vote was important to say, okay, you've got the money over here that you've been saving back, but you can't use it in that fund. You have to move it to another fund if you're going to use it for capital projects. So the story is still out on this. I just wanted to bring you up to date that the movement of the money has been made. So they can proceed with the repairs and renovations they're going to make at the Ellisville Library. And I do understand that a lot of people like that Ellisville Library better than the one downtown because there's not the... It's easier parking, easier access. So you wonder...
That's not the only reason, Marty.
Why wouldn't they maybe consider that beautiful library that we have downtown, why they don't do something about better parking around there. However, we did discuss a lot of other things at the work session, so we'll move on. The other thing, because the annexation did not go through, then it was time for the planning department to come forward and talk about putting their zoning ordinance together. Remember that there's already a lot of work done on the plan to move forward with the planning and zoning, but then the next step is to actually put in place the ordinances, the things that make it legal as to what you can and cannot do with your ground. And it is time to decide how to do that, whether to try to do that in-house or to hire professionals outside to do it. And in my opinion, it's better to hire another group to do it rather than try to do it in-house, because once you get it in-house, it's like it becomes far more political than...
Sure. You get the answer you want to hear.
So one would hope that it would put fresh eyes looking at this and make certain that we don't hamper our ability to grow jobs and grow our assessed values and so forth.
Who makes the final decision whether they use an independent source or an in-house source?
Well, they were discussing it with us to see if we would be willing to pay for it with public tax dollars. They've told us it would be about $150,000, but they don't know for sure because they've sent out information saying we would like to have proposals. So hopefully we'll get some kind of reply back saying exactly what it would be, and then they would move forward. But, of course, any contract has to be signed by the county commissioners. So now that we're discussing what the county commissioners are doing, I heard you speaking about the Profile Parkway.
Right.
And that is something the county commissioners are going to be looking at on Friday as well, having to do with improvement of the access into that whole shopping area, the Whitehall Crossing. Since they're going to be closing that one access that is now available, and I-69 is going to be closing that one access, and so it's going to be important to free up some space and get people moving around in that area better and to grow jobs. And it's so important that we do everything we can to grow our jobs there because, as you saw, Print Pack...
front page of today's paper.
...had to do a rather large layoff and because they'd lost their major customer.
Right.
And until they regroup and pull in another customer, which we all hope they will, and because we have a great workforce and we have a wonderful facility and people there who absolutely can draw in another customer. So we hope that it'll all get turned around. But in order for the county to be helpful. We have to make sure that in all areas that we can, that we are growing our jobs. So,
and just quickly on that print pack story, just front page of the Herald Times today, lack of work at print pack near Bloomington will leave 45 workers, one-fourth of the manufacturing facility's workforce, without jobs. That was according to a news release yesterday, reports Kurt Christian. Print pack's at 5550 West Vernal Pike and produces flexible and specially rigid packaging in the form of pouches, flat-bottom bags, lids, plastic containers, and medical packaging. So that's where that... August of 2009, PrintPak announced its plans to close its 47,000-square-foot plant at North Curry Pike at that time. And you guys gave them a nice tax abatement, and they built a $52 million facility on West Vernal Pike, and that kept 151 jobs in Monroe County at the time. So there's some history here with that employer.
Right, and they have... They've really been successful, but if you count on one very large customer, and which I understand that's the way it works, but if you lose that one customer,
you've always got to be looking for the
really
next one.
You really have to like pull back until and reduce your staff until you pull in another customer,
right,
or
right.
several smaller customers, so that maybe even several smaller ones might be more beneficial, whatever the determination is. But I certainly wish them the very best of luck. They did have a tax abatement, but I believe there was only a couple more years left on that, and so the tail end of the tax abatement is not a very large proportionate share, because it changes every year, and the amount of the abatement is reduced every year. So that loss to the taxpayer will not be as great. And also there is in the rules having to do with tax abatement that if something happens that's beyond their control, that you don't pull that abatement off of there. And this
well, and you said
this,
that abatement's only got, I think, 3 years left on it, Marty, so it's very small at this point.
Right, and so what we are just all wishing them the best of luck of trying to pull in another.
Absolutely.
And keep those people, get those people back to work as soon as we possibly can.
Now, let me reintroduce you to our new listeners. County Councilwoman Marty Hawk, she pops in with us every Wednesday morning to discuss county government, and the county council had a meeting last night.
We certainly did. Now, one of the things that we talked about was having to do with changing the salaries with the chief deputies for five of our elected county officials. Now, remember, the chief deputies, and this is where the disagreement seems to come in place, it has been traditionally that chief deputy, it's a political appointment. The elected official can choose whomever they would like to have for their chief deputy. They can be their next-door neighbor, or they can be someone who...
Radio talk show host?
My girl, I'm just saying, it is a political appointment, and that person does not have to have any particular
expertise,
qualifications,
job qualifications. It's simply up to that elected official, and they're there at the pleasure of that elected official. And if after 4 or 5 months they decide to have another one and remove the one they have, if it's not working out as they like, they can always do that. And there is no way that the county council or anyone else in the county can assign duties to that chief deputy. That is strictly up to that elected official. They can either assign them to really be the one running the whole office and doing all the work, which I have to say that I do believe that in some cases it appears it's very close. And others, that's not happening at all. So that's the reason why years ago it was set that the salaries would be 75% of the elected official salary. And then we knew, the county council knew, that they they could not go in and try to judge whether or not they were doing their work because it wasn't up to us to decide. Well, when we decided on raises for this year, we put in place raises that would include a bump up for many, however many years that people have served. And all of a sudden, the chief deputies are saying, well, what about me? I've worked for county government X number of years. Why do I not get a bump up? Well, my answer, of course, was you get the 75% of what the elected official does, and these other folks are put in place in a far different manner. They have to have a certain amount of job requirement filled and have to have a certain amount of ability to do the job. And so that's the reason why it was set up differently. However, this county council determined last night that they want to move forward with giving substantial raises to these folks, and the total of which is $46,514 for those five people. One raise will be over $12,000. There's two raises that will be almost $11,000. Then one will be over $8,000, and then one will only be about $4,000.
That'd be a nice raise.
I mean, that's kind
of. Those would be nice raises.
Nice raises. Now, I mean, I can put on my political hat here and say these are political appointments.
Yeah.
And every one of them are of the majority party.
Yeah.
And the majority party is moving forward to give the majority
those who have all the
political appointments a huge raise.
And is, wow. is that anything new?
Yes, it is very new. And I will say it.
This isn't how the old system works?
To raise those political appointments up that high. Now, is it new that they might be considering decent raises and maybe larger than some for some other people? It might even be some people on their side of the aisle. But they weren't political appointments. This is a political appointment positions. Now, that's not to diminish
political patronage at its best.
Particular five people.
Is it legal?
Oh, it certainly is.
Well,
I mean,
make sure.
It's up to
yeah.
the county council to decide what salary is going to be of someone.
So I'll bet there wasn't a whole lot of votes for no on that.
I beg your pardon?
I said, I bet there wasn't a whole lot of no votes.
Probably just one.
Well, the first reading, there's no vote at all, though I made it very clear I was not supportive, which, of course, is going to get me a lot of onions.
Let me put the shoe on the other foot.
I've been saying, and it's not that I have any reason to think that any one of these five political appointments that are chief deputies are not doing a terrific job. That's not the point.
The point is precedent.
There is no way that the county council can say, here's a job description for these people. This is X number of hours at so much. It's the way we do everyone else.
Marty,
that's not what we can do.
You can point out that if they don't want to even show up for work, there's nothing anybody can do.
Well, I'm not. I mean, that would be up to the
elected officials
to make
right?
certain that they do. I do believe that they have to fill out a time card. They're supposed to. But that doesn't mean that they would not still get a full paycheck. So,
didn't we have an auditor not show up for about 18 months? So,
yeah,
I mean,
they were elected official, and if the elected official does not want to do anything to their deputy, then there isn't any recourse for the county council, is there?
Marty Hawk, go ahead, for
the chief deputy. Now, if you're the elected official and you have an employee who is late for work or they don't show up for work,
Well, then
they can be dismissed, which we just had a county employee in the auditor's office who was dismissed just a couple of weeks ago for showing up late for work. So
if the shoe was on the other foot and it was the Republicans in charge, would you still vote against it?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I just want to make
that.
I got to ask that question.
Republicans were in charge. That's the reason why we felt like the 75% was the best way to go, and the way many, many counties do it. Now, if you have someone that when they accept that chief deputy's job, if they've already worked for the county for years, they know what their salary is working for the county, and they can choose to either take the salary of being chief deputy or not. In almost every case, I can't think of any one case where it was not the case. If they move from a salaried position working for the county over to the chief deputy, they got a substantial raise just to do that. And now they will be getting this other substantial raise just like all of the other county employees. And, you know, it's hard for me to say this because I know these people personally. I know that many of them are very hard workers, and
it's not about the individual
the offices
people.
Might not work very well without them in place, but that's not the point. We cannot even insist that they do whatever job that they're doing now. An elected official could walk in there tomorrow and dismiss somebody who is their chief deputy and get in somebody else who might not have any idea about how it's to be done. Now, they would not be getting this substantial raise because the raise has to do with how many years that they have worked
service.
For county government,
right.
Either under the elected official or in some other position. I just feel like this is too much politics, and I know so much is political, but this is beyond the pale. And it was especially hard after coming just yesterday from getting something from being sent out by email saying, please come to this such and such program because we're trying to get Democrats elected into local county offices. And this came from a county email address and was asked for a county employee to send this out to people. Now, this is just wrong. And I mentioned this last night at the meeting. I said, we all know better. Hopefully we all know better. But if we don't, let us remind ourselves, we don't ask county employees to send out something on county-owned equipment that is political. You don't use the county property for election purposes, other than, of course, our regular elections, but you don't try to recruit and train
campaign
and so forth to elect one party over the other. Not as this was blatant. Now, don't know. Perhaps when the person was asked to send something out, they just hit the send button, didn't even review what it was they were being asked to send out. But regardless, this is serious business. This is not just small stuff, because you cannot allow that to grow and fester. I'm telling you, when the Republicans were in charge, if you had walked into any office holding a sign for someone to be elected, or if you did anything that was political in nature, you would have been chastised very quickly. And so, to whatever extent, I have asked our county legal to send out a little memo to everybody.
Yeah, a little reminder about the rules of the game.
That's the way it is. As a matter of fact, I was told yesterday that where this one county council member work, that they receive that kind of memo routinely, like every 3 or 4 months, so that anybody new will know, don't do this.
Wow, arrogant, very arrogant.
Interesting, and we hope that we see some of this in other news media outlets as well, because we don't want people to think Marty's just picking on what goes on here. Marty comes on with us on Wednesday mornings, and our time is way past, but we thank you for
it. I'm just now looking at the clock. I'm sorry.
That's okay, but these are things that we can't find anywhere else. We don't get a recap of the meetings. You've provided us one, and we thank you for your time. I can only wait to see what next Wednesday brings.
Thank you, Marty.
Bye.
Marty Hawk, County Councilwoman. That's what went on last night at the County Council meeting. So. again,
we have the Democrats sending out election stuff through the county websites. Wow.
I don't know what the legality on that
is either. I would think that's very illegal.
That makes you itch a little bit to hear that.
Yeah,
so
I would think that's very illegal.
We'll let the county attorneys handle all that stuff.